For the scripture lesson, I'm going to expand a few verses on what's printed in the bulletin. We're going to hear again from the book of Joshua, but we're going to hear chapter 3 beginning with verse 12 and on into chapter 4, verse 3. This is a continuation kind of the story we heard last week where Moses died on Mount Nebo and then Joshua takes over as the leader of the Israelites. Listen for God's word today. The Lord said to Joshua, "Select 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And when the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off, and they shall stand in a single heap." And so when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan River, the priest carrying the ark of the covenant went out in front of the people. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout this time of the harvest. So those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, and the waters flowing from above stood still, rising up in a single heap, doing so far off at Adam, the city beside Zarathan. While those flowing toward the Sea of Arba, the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off. And the people crossed over the opposite of Jericho. And while all Israel was crossing on dry ground, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan River until the entire nation finished crossing over. And when they had finished, the Lord said to Joshua, "Now send 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood, and carry them over with you, and then lay them down in the place where you camped tonight.'" Let us pray. Living God, draw near to us once more. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, in many ways, the entire message of faith is actually being proclaimed through this one worship service this morning. I mean, think about it. We gather here to praise God, a God revealed in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. We remember the saints, those who have gone before us in life and in death. We have prayed for justice. We've read Holy Scripture. We've taught our children. We've baptized and welcomed new members into the church. We will receive offerings as an act of stewardship, and we will share the communion meal in an act of unity before then going back out into the world beyond these walls. So this service today is in many ways a snapshot of the entire Christian faith. So remember that. But to add one more detail to this checklist of faith, I want to talk briefly about this story from Joshua chapter 3, which to me is one of the most Presbyterian stories in the entire Bible. Now, John Calvin lived 1500 A.D. Joshua lived 1200 B.C. So how is this story particularly Presbyterian? Well, I'm glad you asked. There are really five ways this story is a real Presbyterian story of faith. Last week we heard about Moses going up to the top of Mount Nebo shortly before he died, and he was going to be replaced by his successor, Joshua. When Moses led the people out of Egypt, when he stood there on the banks of the Sea of Reeds, he raised his staff and he parted the waters then so all the Israelites could pass through on dry ground to freedom. And now those same Israelites have wandered for 40 years and found themselves on the banks of the Jordan River, ready now to cross into the land promised to them. The question is, how will Joshua lead them? Presbyterian way number one. Joshua is not going to act on his own. Rather, he's going to select leaders out of the congregation. See, the story you heard is not one of Moses parting the waters. This is not Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments or Christian Bale in the remake of that movie soon coming to theaters near you. Joshua, instead, has the people select leaders out of their ranks. They're like an ancient Hebrew Presbyterian nominating committee. But those that are selected aren't told yet what their job's going to be. But then that's also Presbyterian, because since when has any officer or person elected to a role known in advance what was going to be expected of them? So point one, to move forward by faith, the people chose their leaders themselves. Presbyterian way number two, the leaders were chosen from a diverse group of people. They didn't all come from just two or three prominent tribes. It was one leader from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now today, what that calls to mind is that any time you gather together, you need to look around and ask, who's not at this table? Whose voice is not being heard in the decision-making processes before us? Because leadership, good leadership, must always be diverse, because life in God's creation is a diverse life. And that's why women and men and young and old and gay and straight and immigrant and citizen and poor and wealthy and white and black and Hispanic and Asian and housed and homeless need to be part of the leadership pool and the worshiping communities of faith. This past week, in my role as one of the co-moderators for the Covenant Network of Presbyterians, I attended a three-day church meeting. And what it did was bring together people working for marriage equality, working for full inclusion of LGBT leaders, like the Covenant Network, like More Light Presbyterians, with Presbyterians who perhaps are not so fully convinced of those goals, like the Next Church, Presbyterians for Renewal, the Fellowship. Now, it's the fourth time these members have been brought together. And our goal was to be in dialogue so that, to the best of our ability, we would encourage all churches to remain in our denomination and not break away. And I'm pleased to report that everyone at this meeting was committed to staying together. Now, evangelicals and progressives will still differ on things. But the bottom line is we need to stay together. We need to see and learn from each other's vision and passion and witness if we hope to ever accomplish any sort of approximation of God's kingdom here on earth. So that was an important reminder that came out of this week's meeting. All right, Presbyterian way number three. The church is called to lead in the world. We saw how Joshua selected leaders from the respective groups, and after he did so, the priests picked up the Ark of the Covenant, and everyone followed them. Now, if you didn't take Bible 101, the Ark of the Covenant was a gold case that had a lid on it, and it was carried on poles, and inside the Ark of the Covenant were the stone tablets on which the Ten Commandments were written and given by God to Moses. The Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of the Lord's presence in the midst of the church. The Ark was not a surface-to-air missile or a weapon of war. The Ark was not a drone. The Ark was not a platinum credit card. The Ark was God's living witness alone. And as such, it needed to be out front. It needed to be the one leading the way forward. The church has always been called to lead the way. Martin Luther King Jr., when he was in prison on Good Friday, wrote his letter from the Birmingham jail. And in that he said these words, "Whenever the early Christians entered a town, the people in power would become disturbed and want to have them arrested for being disturbers of the peace. But the Christians in the early church would press on, convinced they were called to obey God and not man. The church is not merely a thermometer recording the ideas and the principles of popular opinion. The church is the thermostat that transforms the mores and the values of society. Presbyterian way number four. If we're going to follow this Ark of Covenant, then we have to walk by faith, not by sight. The powerful reminder of this fact in this Bible story is that the waters in the Jordan River didn't recede until the sandals of the priests carrying the ark actually got wet, actually stepped into the river. This wasn't a wait and see moment. This wasn't a time when you pushed someone else in front of you and said, "Don't worry, I've got your back." This is when the people themselves, the priests, marched forward. And in that act of faithfulness, the waters receded, the river parted, the way of justice and freedom was revealed. And the path forward is always clearest to you when you're willing to step into the water. Now that's part of the power of the sacrament of baptism. We move through water from death to this world and new life in Christ. But in general, if we're honest, most of the waters in our lives that we have to get across are stormier and have bigger waves than what's found in baptism fonts. But that fact should not deter us or dissuade us. It is in the act of living our faith that we understand what faith is about, not vice versa. It is in living the faith we come to believe and understand the faith. That's always been true. By God's grace and by the love of Christ, it's that promise that we can trust, because we know at some point or another, every one of us is going to stand on the riverbank and have to decide, do I step in or do I not? Lastly, Presbyterian way number five. It is through our stewardship of our abilities and our assets that literally we carry stones forward so that our children and children to come will trust and believe. Remember those 12 Presbyterians chosen from the tribes? This diverse group that weren't given any marching orders originally. They had no idea what was going to be asked of them. Well, once the entire nation had crossed the Jordan River, the Presbyterian committee then had to go back. They had to go back into the middle of the river with the water standing right there, and they were told to pick up 12 stones from the riverbed. And yes, they're heavy, but they told not only pick them up, but now carry them, and carry them for the entire day until this group finally settles down for the night at a campsite outside of Jericho. In that time of Joshua, the stones then were all stacked together, and they became a memorial, a reminder of the God whose promises are true and who was with them. In our time, picking up and carrying stones is what it means to be a church. And so the stones we carry represent the body of Christ. And then we put them all together. So there are stones for Sunday school teachers and for mission committees. There are stones for choirs, for those that visit shut-ins, for sanctuary door greeters, for volunteers who make coffee and casseroles and send cards, for people who keep others in prayer, who count the offering, who inform voters to remember to vote, who encourage people to speak up for truth and justice, who sing songs and hymns, who turn in pledge cards. If you toss one person's stone to the side, the entire monument will falter. And if you omit one stone from the collection, the entire structure will teeter. Today has been a snapshot of what our faith is about, what it means to follow Christ and belong to a Presbyterian church. Worship is about praising the God who's beside us for the entire journey of life, even if the stones we are asked to carry and the gifts we bring are going to be different depending on who's next to you in your pew. Our stewardship is about giving resources consistently, faithfully, so that all the church stones may flourish and thrive, not just the ones we particularly like. And our faith will always be about carrying stones from the Jordan River through the church and out those doors into the world until at last our journey is over and we find rest at the end and lay down our stones with our brothers and sisters. I read up to Joshua 4:3. I'll close by reading the verses that come right thereafter. So Joshua summoned the 12 from each tribe, and he said to them, "Pass now before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone, put it on your shoulder. And when your children ask in times to come, 'What do these stones mean to you?' you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan River were cut off in front of the ark of the Lord. And so these stones, and so your stones, will be a memorial to God forever. Step forward by faith for worship, for mission, for stewardship, and watch. Watch as the waters part and the witness of the Lord is revealed for our children and our children's children for ages to come. Thanks be to God. Amen. For your own profession of faith, I invite you to stand at this time and to share together in the affirmation of faith as printed in the bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.